books of a different kind, Line at the Beach with a Good Mystery or Adventure Novel for many people sums up the phrase summer reading. But each year, for more and more students, summer reading means required reading. And that often involves more than sitting down with a book or two. It means note-taking, even writing essays. And NPR's Marco Adler reports.
Bailey Davis is entering eighth grade at Christ Church Episcopal School in Greenville, South Carolina.
This summer, we had to read Tom Sawyer, and then we had a choice between Dicey Song and The Giver, and then another choice between The Summer My German Soldier and The Contender.
The notion of summer reading being assigned doesn't seem right to some people, like Ruth Gase, a former teacher of classics and classical archaeology, now a Reformed Jewish rabbi. When she thinks back to the summers of her childhood, reading is linked with endless time and pleasure.
I can remember one summer of bliss, spending the summer in a glider on a porch with a stack of books in front of me and just reading all day. And they were all books that I had chosen, and I was eating chocolate. And reading, what could be better than that?
But when she thinks back to her daughter's summer reading, after 10th grade at Summit High School in New Jersey, it's not so idyllic. Her daughter Claire had to take notes, keep a journal, write essays. It was as if school never ended.
She plugged away, and she wasn't happy. And she felt that she had no time to read what she wanted to read. I thought there was a real danger of her just burning out.
Gase is not alone. Cheryl Price, a parent in the Baltimore County school system in Maryland, had similar concerns and caused a commotion when she asked the school system if these assignments were mandatory. Turns out they weren't.
Some kids were spending up to 2 weeks of their summer doing their work.
Price wanted her twin daughters to read and do some things they couldn't do during the school year. After all, this wasn't summer school. This was for kids who had passed the grade.
None of us is saying, don't read over the summer. We think it's a bad thing. We're just saying, go pick a book you'd like to read. And when my kids read these books, they like it. But when you have to stop and highlight and footnote and cite because they have to do characterization and theme analysis, it takes a lot out of it.
But here's a different reaction. When Ella White Campbell heard that her granddaughter had not brought her required reading on a trip, she said, you will get that book tonight.
I will buy that book. If they don't have the book, you will not get on that plane.
Campbell is the chair of the Minority Achievement Advisory Group for the Baltimore County Public Schools, the same place Cheryl Price raised the issue.
All of the research supports the fact that if children are not actively engaged in some kind of academic activity during the summer, they are not as successful in school in the incoming year.
And this is most true, says Campbell, for disadvantaged kids. She admits she had a carefree summer as a child, but she says there were fewer distractions during the school year, no video games and instant messaging. And she says it may well have been appropriate for Cheryl Price to feel that summer assignments were over the top, since she was exposing her children to all kinds of other enriched activities.
But I think that schools must continue to speak for the kids who don't have parents like that, and that is the majority of the population of our schools.
The move toward requiring students to do more summer work, in effect extending the school year, is also part of the increasing pressure for schools to perform. Rabbi Ruth Gase says her community is not immune.
In a town like Summit, New Jersey, how well the children do at school, score on tests, is very important to the town's image. How well its real estate sells. The idea that people could just want to know something for the sake of knowing something, or want to read something for the sheer joy of bonding with the page, becomes more and more foreign.
I think the main thing that's changed is there's a tremendous amount of pressure out there in the world.
Will Lehman is an English teacher at the Field School in Washington, D.C.
to push kids forward. And this isn't just kids in fancy private schools or in upscale neighborhoods, but every kid today has a greater expectation either of going to college or a feeling that they really must go to college to get ahead. And I think that that pressure translates through parents, and it translates into the schools, into the administrations. We feel that we have to assign a lot of summer reading. It's part of making the education serious.
Lehman says there isn't a lot of consensus among teachers about the purpose of summer reading. The long lists of summer books that many schools give out often have books that are too hard for kids without some help. So it's natural for a teacher to ask for notes and analysis. Then he says, you know, my daughter was totally turned on by the Da Vinci Code.
She skipped meals so she could get through it. And it absolutely taught her how great it can be to get wrapped up in a book and in the world that that book creates, in the storytelling. But as an English teacher, I don't think it's very well written. I think it's flimsy.
So teachers load up the lists with serious literature, like Saul Bellow, that will impress the parents.
And that kind of stuff is not going to keep my daughter locked in her room for 3.5 days, skipping meals to get through, even though it might be good for her if she does ultimately finish it.
Back in South Carolina, Emily Davis, Bailey Davis's mom, says her daughter is a voracious reader, but her son is a different story. He has to read a book called Fever.
He's on page 100, I know that. His father made him read 40 pages this morning.
So you're sort of on his back, so
we're definitely on his back, and we've done everything from read it out loud to him to requiring a certain amount of pages. But even with him struggling, it's good for him to be reading during the summer just to keep him stimulated, and it teaches him time management and responsibility.
But Bailey Davis has finished all her required reading. Now she can get to the fun stuff.
There are so many good authors in the books. I love books that are page-turners, like The Da Vinci Code and The Lovely Bones. I couldn't stop reading those two at the beach.
So you sat at the beach and read and read and read?
Yes, ma'am.
Proving, perhaps, that there's still a place for lazy summer days filled with the joy of a good book. Margo Adler, NPR News, New York.